Well, we got our compensation announcement today. Let's see what each member here will receive $100 per meeting attended, up to a maximum of $500 per month per agency. And this amount is provided as a result of convening a meeting for which each member is entitled to collect such amount. Is that correct? Okay, very good. Okay. Next item is consent calendar. This is the minutes from our July 11th meeting. Is there any comments, discussion? Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any dissent? Hearing none. Let's move on to our guidelines for the countywide transportation plans. And, Doug, are you going to present this?
I am.
Okay.
Good morning, Commissioners. Doug Johnson from TCU's Planning Group. Nice to see you. This is a follow-up to our visit to you back in April that outlined a process we'd be undertaking over the course of the summer to update our county guidelines. Just as a reminder, the county guidelines are required by state law requires that MTC update county guidelines to help the counties do planning. That planning is voluntary, but is also at the same time intended to be the primary basis for the RTP and the SCS, specifically intending to identify, among other things, projects for the 10 and 20 year succeeding periods. So I think you're all actually very well aware of both of these planning universes, if you will. But what we really are trying to do here is just remind folks, members of the public, and everybody involved that the guidelines really are trying to build a bit of a bridge between all the planning work that goes on at the county level, which in a lot of ways rolls up city-based and transit agency-based planning as well as all the different planning initiatives that occur at the regional agency level. So these guidelines need to help make clear that iterative nature and also really provide a crosswalk between regional goals and objectives as well as local goals and objectives. So the intent really here of the update was really to make sure to again kind of affirm and outline that relationship between the county planning efforts and the regional planning efforts. To assist with and outline ways the counties can help with the implementation of SB 375 and MAP 21, and for us to look for appropriate content to be included in those countywide plans. As far as the process goes, I won't bore you with all the details. Suffice to say, we've reached out extensively to the 700 members of the mailing list for PTAC and the ROG. We've held two public workshops. We've also gone to Policy Advisory Council twice. A full copy of the written comments we've received are included in your packet, but for one letter that came in this week, which is available to you on the table. I would say that in general, there was no major feedback from Policy Advisory Council this past Wednesday on recommended changes to the guidelines based on what they had seen. So the guidelines are certainly trying to and continue to, as they balance both local priorities and local planning, as well as the regional framework, we've definitely seen a very clear divergence in comment letters, one seeking to really ensure that the CTPs conform to a Plan Bay Area planning framework, and another set of letters indicating that the guidelines should remain flexible and allow for innovation at the county level. So that instead of perhaps the light reading through the 12 pages of the guidelines, which you may or may not choose to do, we did include in your packet Table 1, which really seeks to summarize the major changes between the original guidelines, which we last updated in 2000, and those that are in front of you. I think the other thing that's just really important to note is that is the role that this document plays. This is a process document. It really tries to set forth a process for the counties. It's not intended to be a policy or an advocacy document. per se. I think there's been some misunderstanding about that as well. We also certainly are encouraging and trying to increase cooperation and coordination between the counties and MTC as we develop these plans. There's a lot of resources and skills available here at MTC in terms of performance and other elements where I think we have a lot more, to be frank, a lot more staffing capacity and a longer history with some of these items. I think it also is a good opportunity for MTC to hear about different and innovative things that are occurring at the county level. So the guidelines do include a brief background on Plan Bay Area, as well as the updated planning context as a result of MAP 21 and SB 375. It also includes references to various components, including the performance framework that was used in Plan Bay Area, the public participation plan, which, of course, is about to start being updated, as well as the equity analysis that MTC did. I think those also represent, especially the performance piece and the equity piece, definitely are highlights of new material, essentially, in the guidelines that are truly distinct from the previous set. The last thing I would just mention is there's been some discussion about what the effective date of the guidelines would be. We feel that it would be appropriate, consistent with federal and state rulemaking processes, that these would be looking forward, so to any plan that starts after October 1 of this year. With that, we'd recommend that the committee forward the resolution 2120 revised to the commission for approval, and we're happy to take any questions that you might have.
Okay. You know, I just want to start the discussion off. You know, I've been contacted by the CMAs, and we get the letter from all nine CMAs, and also some calls from the business community, and I also got a contact by BIA. And I think some of the issues that are being raised, I think we need to certainly discuss or at least talk about. You know, one of them, you know, as I look at the CMAs, and hopefully we'll hear from someone from the CMAs. I think that many of the issues have been worked out, but there was, in that letter, they talk about the final guidelines shouldn't, you know, should be clear that that these are advisory, you know, that the county transportation plan guidelines. And here would be a potential language or something that I would like to see included. And it would be that the county transportation plan guidelines or advisory in preparation of the CTPs by the counties is voluntary in statute. And so, and you know, I was talking to Steve and I were meeting earlier today, and we were going through some of these concerns and coming up with some language. And so that would be one area. The other is, and I'm not sure which group that this came from, but in that Appendix B, under the Bay Plan Area Performance Targets, in that first paragraph, we would include that it would be if there is a feasible way to do so. And so, you know, that would clarify that. And so the other area is on the performance targets. And the reason I'm throwing this out is that hopefully when the speakers speak, they can address some of these issues or see if this meets some of the concerns. And I think it's nothing's being proposed that wasn't the intent of what we were doing. And the other was on the performance targets, that the language could be that I'd like to discuss is that the Bay Plan Area's performance targets do not constitute requirements or goals that apply to the decisions under the jurisdictions of local governments. MTC's Resolution 3987 outlines the performance framework for the Bay Plan Area and is available as a resource for counties. And so that was kind of, I just wanted to put that in the discussion. And so with those three areas, and so, you know, get a little bit more clarification. But, Doug, I don't know if you want to comment on any of that or if Steve does, either one of you. No, I'm just asking, is does staff have concerns if we add that language or we modify it? Or
The language you just outlined, we do not.
Okay. So it. So just for that clarification. So with that, I want to bring it back to the committee, and if not, I'll open it up to public comments. We'll take public comments. Okay. Let's hear from. We've got two speaker cards. Danielle Schmidt, NCTPA.
Good morning. Danielle Schmidt, planning manager with the Napa County Transportation and Planning Agency. Just to touch on Chair Spearing's comments, NCTPA would be in favor of adding those as well. But we do want to commend MTC staff, in particular Doug, for working so diligently with the CMA planning directors on throughout this process and keeping us informed of all the iterations of the CTP guidelines, because they're obviously important to us on the local level. But we agree just to keep the language flexible, understanding that each county is unique within the region, and so coming up with individual goals and objectives and performance measures on a local level is really important in spurring kind of creativity in transportation planning and programming on the local level. We are also in support of the effective date of October 1st for the CTP guidelines, and the guidelines would not take effect, or they would only apply to countywide plans that happen or are initiated after October 1st. So we would also be in favor of the comments that Chair Spearing just mentioned, and just want to provide our support for MTC staff recommendation. We do feel that these guidelines before you today do allow for flexibility amongst the local agencies. So thank you.
Okay. Next speaker is Paul Campos, and Paul, maybe you can comment on what I'm suggesting.
Yeah.
Good morning.
Paul.
Have stuff to add.
Sorry. Paul Campos with the Building Industry Association and a member of the Bay Area Business Coalition. I also want to commend MTC and the staff for conducting a thorough and transparent process where everyone saw things as they were moving along. The two suggested amendments that our coalition is suggesting are, I think, very consistent with what Chair Spearing has himself suggested, those dealing with just making clear exactly what these guidelines are and are not in terms of MTC's intention. And so the language about them being voluntary, and I think it's also important to say that that you as MTC are not hamstringing your future discretion over whether or not to provide local match funding based on whether or not these guidelines are complied with. You will retain that authority, I think, but it's important to put in place in the guidelines a statement that these guidelines aren't mandatory and compliance with them is not a condition of receiving MTC funding, and that you'll retain your future discretion. And then second, regarding the performance targets, we think it's important to add that language that MTC went through after a long process when adopting the performance targets to make clear, again, exactly what they're intended to be and what they are not. And so having that language put in context, if you are going to include all of the performance targets as an appendix in the guidelines, I think would be helpful also. And so we would urge that with those amendments that they be forwarded to the commission with that recommendation, and we'd be strongly supportive of adopting them. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. Clarissa Kappen-Sagan, Transform.
Good morning. My name is Clarissa Kappen-Sagan. I am a community planner at Transform. I was one of the people that signed on to the letter with about 33 other groups encouraging MTC to renew its guidelines and offering pretty specific comments. In short, we're pretty happy of the way that staff has dealt with our comments, including how it's framed the new guidelines to respond to SB 375. MTC's PDA, PCA framework, as well as referencing certain things like performance targets and mandatory requirements by SB 375, such as housing our region's population and reducing greenhouse gas emissions. We definitely do believe that there needs to be a little bit of a stronger link to between the countywide plans and Plan Bay Area. I think that as we've gone through the process of Plan Bay Area, we've realized that the actual plan is only as strong as its components. So as tight as we can get those specific countywide plans to the intent of regional planning in Plan Bay Area, I think that that's your own prerogative to do so. And it is the health and well-being of the entire Bay Area for us to all be on the same page when it comes to that. We'd like to see better referencing of equity analysis and what that actually means, as well as the consequences and incentives for countywide plans to be done in a timely manner. So the sooner we can get those more aligned with Plan Bay Area, the better it is for the next round of regional planning. Thank you so much for your time today.
Okay. Thank you. David Uniman. David?
Good morning. David Uniman, Deputy Director for Planning from the San Francisco County Transportation Authority. I'd like to start off echoing the previous comments to thank MTC and staff for a very inclusive process developing and updating the guidelines. I'll start off by saying that our San Francisco Transportation Plan, which was adopted in December of 2013, largely complies with what is in the guidelines right now. I'll highlight five ways in which that happens. First of all, we had an extensive and inclusive outreach process, as well as a single call for projects as input into the SFTP investment plan, as well as Plan Bay Area. Second of all, the SFTP's greenhouse gas reduction goal uses the city's greenhouse gas reduction goal, which is much more aggressive than the regional greenhouse gas reduction goal. And even though we did not meet the targets, we did indicate policies that would get us closer there and move the dial. Thirdly, a list of policy proposals to advance the goals of the plan and a financially constrained investment plan, as well as a vision, were included in the SFTP. Fourth, we used a technical facts-based analysis to evaluate how our proposed investment scenarios got us closer to our goals. And fifth, we also undertook an equity analysis tailored to San Francisco's context, looking at both socioeconomic and geographic equity. We are about to kick off a refresh of our own countywide transportation plan to influence our submission to the Plan Bay Area update. However, I'd just like to highlight, and please be aware, that even a minor update requires a significant investment of staff and financial resources. These are often beyond what MTC provides in planning funds. Furthermore, the countywide transportation plan is just one of many complementary planning efforts that we undertake as CMA, as you probably already know, which informs the RTP Sustainable Community Strategy. Finally, I'd like to recognize the importance of the relationship between Plan Bay Area and the countywide transportation plans, and we also value the flexibility that exists to tailor countywide transportation plans to address local issues and concerns in both content and schedule. We appreciate MTC's thoughtful and balanced approach to the revised countywide transportation plan guidelines and are supportive of their adoption. Thank you.
Thank you, David. Yeah, I want to revisit that one issue about the update. And finally, Matt, you're Matt Reagan. You are our cleanup guy here today.
Good morning, Commissioners. Matt Reagan with the Bay Area Council. Again, I'd like to reiterate the comments of the previous speakers on what a transparent, open process this has been. Thank you for that. The Bay Area Council, we were early and enthusiastic supporters of AB 32 and SB 375. We remain committed to the goals of both those pieces of legislation. We're also committed regionalists, and we are strong supporters of regional planning and regional action. We are co-signers of the Business Coalition letter that you have in front of you, asking for flexibility in the guidelines. As you know, we're facing, as you know probably more than most, we're facing a cliff in transportation funding, both here and across the nation. The gas tax is bankrupt. the Prop 1B funds are drying up, and really the only available source for a lot of projects coming forward or going forward are county self-help counties raising money locally. Our major concern that if guidelines become mandates, it'll become all but impossible for many counties to raise money at the local level. It'll be very, very difficult if the if some of these mandates are pushed to voters at the ballot, that it'll be impossible for them to pass difficult bond measures at the ballot. So we are urging for flexibility, and we hope that the amendments that, that Chair Spearing has authored or offered will be accepted. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Matt. I want to go back to the issue that David raised in the CMA's letters where they talk about the timing of the CTP updates must therefore be flexible to address local policy and resource constraints. It should also be recognized that the preparation and update of the CTPs are often tied to local sales tax or other revenue revenue measures, which are subject to their own local requirements, goals, and priorities. And Doug, or do you have a response on that one?
I would just say, I mean, in the universe of planning, you know, we actually included expenditure plans in there, and we've tried to build in some flexibility with this kind of flexible window about when ideally countywide plans would be updated in order for them to inform. I mean, I think the question is, you know, to the extent a county wants to use this planning process to inform their submissions to the regional plan, there is a window of about a year, you know, year and a half during which it's ideal to wrap up your plan. So the call for projects is when we do our call for projects for the plan that they're ready. Now, whether or not that syncs up with the right, you know, election schedule vis-a-vis, an expenditure plan, sometimes it's going to fit and sometimes it doesn't. And we will always be working with staff at the CMAs to align our processes the best we can.
Yeah, and I think historically we have worked with the CMAs to flex that. So, what I hear you saying, you think there's enough flexibility built into the plan that'll address that issue. Okay. Paul Campos brought up the funding, having language in here on the funding. You know, I don't know that I agree with that. Right now, there is no linkage to the funding to these guidelines. And Steve, would that take an action of a future commission in order to make that linkage?
Yes, it would.
Okay, so that debate can happen at a future date. But I think it's very important that we have language in here that talks about it being advisory and the voluntary, by the counties. And I think that language is important. Any other language that I had brought up? And so what I'd like to bring it back to the commission and see if there is further discussion on that or if there is.
Just a quick question, Jim. Yes. I was trying to understand because the amendments that were proposed here seem fairly reasonable from my perspective, but what I didn't catch is of those, what were you trying to substitute in those different amendments?
Yeah, I don't know that it's a substitution. It's really more of this type of language needs to be included for clarification. You know, for instance, on the if there is a feasible way to do so, the recommendation was to put that in at Appendix B right there in that first paragraph, just for clarification.
Right.
That was one of the things that the CMAs were asking for, and which I thought was reasonable. The others, the CTP guidelines or advisory and prepared, that would be in the beginning of the document, mm-hmm. You know, just for that clarification.
And what about the part there about neither mandatory nor a condition of receiving funding?
What I'm recommending is that we don't have language that references the funding, because that would take an action of a future.
That's what I was trying to clarify.
Yeah,
what you
so
were
that,
trying to
that
say.
Language okay. would not be included. But the other piece of that is where the guidelines or advisory and preparation of the CTPs by the counties is voluntary in statute. So that specific language would be added.
And then the second one where it talks about standards, policies, or restrictions, are
yeah.
you comfortable with that?
I mean,
were you
yeah.
including all of that?
Yes, yeah. Then that would be the other one, is that the Bay Plan area's performance targets do not constitute requirements or goals that apply to the decisions under the jurisdiction of local governments, MTC's resolution, and so forth and so forth.
Okay.
So that just clarifies.
I just want to understand because you talked about it, but I didn't care. Okay, very good. Thank you.
So, that would be my recommendation. I think it addresses some of the concerns, and nothing that's being proposed wasn't the original intent or what we had talked about before. And so,
Thank you, Commissioner Spearing. I agree with the changes that you made. And one of the things that it made me think of when I got these letters is that what we've been trying to say over and over about the Plan Bay Area is that it's a plan and these are guidelines. And so I want to make sure that there's flexibility in the language. I feel comfortable with the changes that you made as long as the standards are set by the local jurisdictions and the restrictions as well.
Yeah, Jake.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Most of us, if not all of us who are at the table here, are involved in the drafting and approval of county transportation plans, so I'm comfortable with what has been suggested. I should have asked this as a question earlier on, but let me just bring it up now. Priority conservation areas. It seems to me that as CMA is developing county transportation plans in the context of Plan Bay Area, that at the very least there should be guidance given to us to consider what, frankly, has been the stepchild of Plan Bay Area. So I'm just asking you as chair if perhaps I have not read the proposed draft carefully enough. Maybe there's a place where that's referenced and I didn't catch it. So I just like clarification in that. If it's not, then I would like to see a reference to priority conservation areas.
Doug?
I would say it's probably not in there to the equal standard of the PDAs necessarily. There are a couple of references that we specifically inserted, but to the extent that that's direction you'd like to offer us, we can find another place to put it.
Yeah, I would agree with that, and I think it needs to be included. So,
thank you, Mr.
Okay. Okay, I see no other lights on, and so I'll entertain a motion that we forward this to the commission with the noted changes. And Steve, I'll give you the few little.
Thank you.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion. Oh, Sam, I'm sorry.
No, you didn't miss me. I just jumped in because I wanted to ask if you could repeat. I understand you were not endorsing all the comments that were made. I just want to be clear about what exactly we are forwarding. Could you possibly reread them?
Yes, I certainly can. On the first one, and it would be in the introductory area, would be the CTP guidelines or advisory and preparation of the CTPs by the counties is voluntary in statute.
Okay.
Okay, and that's, as I said, that was one of the recommendations. The other one is the Bay Plan Area's performance targets do not constitute requirements or goals that apply to the decisions under the jurisdictions of local governments. And that's MTC Resolution 3987 outlines the performance framework for the Bay Plan Area and is available as a resource for counties. And so it just really clarifies the 3987. And the last one, which would be in the Appendix B, is that if there is a feasible way to do so. And so that language just clarifies that, if it's feasible.
Okay, great. Thank you. I was just concerned. I didn't want to tie our hands around funding either. Actually, for the other reason, I want to know if we have in the future decided as a body that we want to clearly tie funding to performance. I'd like to be able to have that conversation freely.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And I agree, and Sam, I agree with that, and I understand the why that request is made. But right now, there is no requirement, and it would take an action of this commission. But to tie our hands I don't think would be appropriate.
Thank you.
And I would ask that as it's forwarded, it would require that there be specific references to priority conservation areas. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right, so that would be we have a motion and a second. And is there further discussion? Is there any dissent? That motion passes unanimously. Boy, you guys are agreeable today.
Good work.
All right. So, Doug, did you have anything else to add? Or
no, thanks.
I don't have any public comments. Before we adjourn, I was just informed that John Ferran had just passed away, former senator and the father of MTC, and just a great individual, just a partner that really has helped MTC with many of the successes that we've had over the years, and just a great individual. And those of us that have worked with him really understood, his commitment to MTC and the many accomplishments he's made. That not only served the Bay Area, but served the state of California. And so,
I really would like to adjourn today in the memory of John Ferraz, and I'm sure we'll have a little bit more at our commission meeting, Steve, on this. And so with that, we will adjourn today's meeting in memory of Senator John Ferraz. So thank you, and this meeting is adjourned.